Fellas, when we say go on, take the money and run, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, yeah. They're headed. No, they're our counters. I appreciate them for taking care of that. I can't tell you how good it is to be back with you and to be back here in the States. One of the great blessings of my life is the opportunity to have been able to work in different parts of the world and to have been able to encourage young men to preach the gospel. And it is just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. As I started this morning, I wanted to just say how thankful I am for our elders and their willingness to support this work and others like it, because there are so many opportunities in which we can reach out into the world and do that both locally and around the world. And they see the importance and the need for doing both, and I'm thankful for that. And so as we begin today, as we gather to worship in this place, like I just shared with our kids, I want to begin and just pray and ask God to bless us as well as our brothers and sisters across the globe and around the globe. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. And Father, we're grateful for the blessings that we have. We're grateful for the gift of your Son. We're grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Father, we're grateful for the gift of your great love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we're thankful today for the blessing of the body of Christ, the church. Father, for our brothers and our sisters in this place, and Father, around the world. And Lord, as your people together gather together today, whether it's in a public assembly or, Father, whether it's in a place where they're hiding for fear of being arrested for proclaiming the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their time of communion with you. We pray for their time of studying your word. Father, we pray for them. We pray for their faith to increase. Father, we ask the same for ourselves, that you will help us and teach us and show us through this time together more of what it means to be your people, to be your children, to be followers of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray today that as we open the Word, that you will give us direction, Father, that you will be glorified, and Father, your truth will be spoken. Lord, I ask you that you will continue to bless those that are going through difficult moments in our lives. We're praying today and lifting up especially baby Bo. And Father, so grateful for the Richters and the fact that they've been able to go home. And we just ask you to continue to bless them. We pray for healing with Janae. And we just pray that you will comfort that family. We pray for others that have gone through surgeries recently. And we pray for their healing and their strength and their recovery. And Father, we pray for others that are trying to decipher about health and different things to do. And we pray for clarity and you to help them in doing the thing that's best for their physical being. Father, pray today for Phil, for the loss of his mother this past week. And Lord, I just lift his family up to you, and so grateful for him and the part that he is in this family. Lord, we ask you today as a family that you continue to watch over our young people, that you will bless our kids as they start back into school this week. Help them to be strong and courageous. Father, help them to be bold. Help them to be light. Help them to be Jesus in their schools. Father, bless our teachers. Help them to shine and to draw people into you, to be that salt that causes their students to thirst for something better, to notice the difference in the lives of the people that are teaching them. God, bless all of those that'll be starting back to school this week. Lord, again, we thank you now as we open your word and we become students of you, and we pray that you will teach us through your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, again, many folks are visiting. Thank you for being here. Welcome. I want to rejoice again. We mentioned little Bo, baby Bo. A huge little boy born, want to celebrate and rejoice over the new birth. Wait, we're doing something. I'm going too fast. I'm moving. I'm on a timer. Can you stop that? Do some Larry intervention back there, because that's going to go faster than I care for it to. So I'm so excited about the new baby. We love babies. You know, there are two different ways that the church grows. One is through spiritual reproduction, and the other is through physical reproduction. You know, if you don't all have to make babies. You know, you can go out and just invite your neighbors, and we grow, and it's a blessing. One's a little harder. It costs a lot more. It takes a lot more time, but they're both such blessings. Jerry's excited. It's job security for him every time a new baby's born. At some point, Jerry, you kind of get to the place of like, am I going to make it for this one to get to the youth group? You know, and I know, I understand. It's real. Life's real like that. But we just rejoice over those great moments. And they were able to go home from the NICU. Such a blessing. Again, you know, Blake, so proud of you. I was in the airport in Miami, and I get a text, and it's got this picture in it. And it's the good news, not of a newborn baby, but a spiritual newborn. And just like there was great rejoicing in the hospital in Nashville with the birth of Bo, there was a equally great moment of rejoicing with the new birth of our brother in Christ and Blake. And so rejoice, and so thankful for him, for this decision, for his desire to be in Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness that was applied to his soul on that day. I'm celebrating and rejoicing over something else. I told you about the camp just a little bit, and I want to share just a little history. In front of you is a certificate from a future preacher's training camp that was started 50 years ago. See, I just get to do what I do because somebody else had a vision 50 years ago. Brother Rodney Cloud, that taught for many years at Lipscomb, Brother Pete Johnson, they decided that it was important to encourage young men to preach. So they started this camp. And before you, there's a list of names. You can't probably hardly see all of them. My favorite part is when you get to actually see the picture of, you know, the old school. This is what teenagers look like 50 years ago, or 20. I don't know if it's 50. Surely not. Maybe these guys weren't there 50 years ago. Surely not. But what I want to point out is this group from, I think it was 1983, on the far right and on the far left, two young men who went to Future Ministers Camp in Nashville, Tennessee, years ago. On the far right front row, on the far left front row, are now university presidents at a Christian college. Kirk Brothers on my right, and on the far left, David Shannon, who's at Freed Hardeman. Kirk Brothers at Heritage Christian University. And I think about the idea, and there are other men in this group, I think, kind of right in the middle back row is a professor from Lipscomb, Lee Camp. Some of you guys know Lee, and Lee was one of the campers in this, and there are other names that kind of would pop out and be familiar to other folks, but I just think about planting seeds. And as I was in Brazil, this feed popped up, and they were celebrating at Pennington Bend the 50th, and several of the campers that had been a part of that, several preachers that are now back and forth, they were there and celebrating this moment. And I thought, man, I want to share this with the church because I get to go because about 25 years ago, one of the Kirk on the right here, Kirk says, hey, I'm doing this camp at Graymere and I want you to come help with it. And so I did. And for like 10 or 12 years, got to help with it. Then about 10 or 11 years ago, he says, hey, they've asked us to come do this in Panama, in Central America. And we were already, I was teaching a course down there in youth ministry for the preacher training school, and so it was already a familiar territory, and I said, man, I'd love to, let's do it. So it started. And for the last 10, 11, 12 years, we have been doing camps in different countries throughout Latin America. And this was just a little history. This was last July in Palenque, Mexico. This is what I like to affectionately call the COVID camp. This is when after 10 days of camp, I test positive for COVID and everybody, you know, leaves me and I have to stay because I can't get out of the country. And that was a good experience. But I would rather have been like on the coast somewhere in Mexico, you know, but it was in the central desert burial grounds called Palenque. This was in the Dominican Republic, group of kids learning, encouraging to be leaders in the church, preachers. Not a vacation. You can't see it in this picture except on the big guy. I mean, it's a hot box, you know. Some people like it's a blessing. But this is our group from the camp in the northeast of Brazil. Brazil is a massive, massive country. And these young men came from 14 different congregations across that country. One of my favorite, there are many favorite stories of throughout this camp, but I just want to, you know, we do all kinds of connecting and teaching moments. One of my favorite stories is this one. His name's Albertson. Albertson is the husband. We worked, the camp was meeting at a facility called the La Mar Children's Home. A lot like our Tennessee Children's Home. They take kids in, and many of those kids are adopted out from that place. But there were about 30 or 40 kids on the second floor where we were staying. And so every night, you're kind of getting ready for bed, and you just hear this, you know, the boys running up and down the hall, right over your head. And it was just awesome. But the financial officer was helping us in the kitchen. She was kind of our cook. And her husband, Albertson, comes, and he's sitting in the back of the room. He's kind of putting out chairs. He's just kind of a helper for the week, just being a friend, you know. And after the first preaching class that I taught, he came up to me and he said, I've been a Christian since 1983, and I've been afraid to step up and do what I know I'm supposed to do as a leader in the church. And I look at these young men and I realize I should be sitting in one of those chairs. And I immediately turned to Albertson and I said, then come sit in one of those chairs. And we walked down front, and just like every student had gotten already, he got a copy of a Thompson Chain Reference Bible in his own language. He got a copy of the Haley's Bible, whatever, that's kind of a good resource book. He got the notes from the classes we were teaching. And for the rest of the week, Albertson is part of the camp as a camper, not as a guy that was just there with his wife watching things go on. This is a pulpit. You know, we kind of had to make it work. The table was a little low. And this is the Brazilian way they polish the pulpit. And so, but this is Albertson. And his story was beautiful because he preached his first sermon at camp at age 57. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. You guys support there in the middle, Alexandre Giraudo. And he is a missionary to Brazil. He actually came up from the south of the country to be with us and to translate for me. Kind of the vision is we start a camp, we do it 1 year, and like with two Americans. Two Americans come in, they teach them how to do it. The next year we come in and we're kind of passing off and they're starting to take over leadership and they do it. And then at the end of camp, we're laying out the plan for them to take over it. At the meeting, the guy had already shared out that's taking the lead on next year's camp, the brochure for next year. And it said, were you not able to be here this year? Don't miss 2023. You see, they're already planning to take over, and that's the dream. That's the WhatsApp number. If you're not into WhatsApp, that's the international way they text message. Big time fun stuff. But anyway, the world is big. And our God, He is bigger. He is faithful. He is great in so, so many ways. And as we study today, as we open God's Word, and I want us to spend some time, and I don't think in reality I will be able to touch the hem of the garment on our message today. And so it's kind of like when your mom puts one of those big roasts in a crock pot and dumps all those vegetables on top of it. And then there's like rice and all this stuff that you're eating with it. And it's been cooking and cooking. I've been gone 10 days. And so this pot roast has been cooking, okay? But I don't want you to be stuffed to the point of you don't enjoy it. And it's not healthy for you. So I kind of want us to chew on our thoughts just a little bit this morning. But I'm not going to try to feed you the whole roast. Because I know going into this thing, we're into it already, you know. And I realize that. But I want to share with you some things that have challenged me. One of the, again, the challenge is to preach the Word. And that's what I hope to do as we open the Word today. We've been studying through this crazy, chaotic world and how do we approach it. And we've been looking through the Gospel of John. And we've looked in John 14 and 15 and 16. And there is a character that is showing up over and over and over again. And as you preach through a text, I love doing that, going straight through a book, because you can't miss stuff that way. If you're jumping, if you got a sermon over here and a sermon over there and a sermon over here and over there, it's easy to kind of miss some things. But when you're going straight through a text, things have to be addressed that sometimes you're like, I don't have all the answers to that one. I don't know exactly all of the answers to those verses, but those are verses of God's Word, and we need to share and explore and dig into this thought. And Jesus speaks to us at this moment. He's told the disciples he's going to the cross, he's going to be gone, he's fixing to leave them. 3 years they've been walking as his mathetes, their disciples, his followers, those that are learning from him, and now the guy that they've been walking alongside with is no longer going to be walking on this earth. He says, I'm going back to heaven. And as they worried about living in a chaotic world, Jesus gives them a promise. Look, if you would, in verse 15 of chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. See, he's kind of foreshadowing the cross and the death, the burial, and then his resurrection and his time with them before his ascension. He said, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how do we know that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is the Father's who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while I'm here with you. But the Helper, now he tells us who the Helper is, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. Not as the world gives you peace, so let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away. I will come to you, and if you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father. and the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the rulers of this world, the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Jesus introduces us to the third partner, the third figure, the third person of the Godhead family. There is God our Father. There is Jesus Christ, His Son. We are introduced to the Holy Spirit. We hear about the Holy Spirit, but not too much. And we don't very often explore, as one author has titled him, Francis Chan has said, he's kind of the forgotten God. Some of you may have read some of that idea, but I think it's important that we understand that these three are equally important to us as His people. These three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are part of our relationship to the Father, to God. And so sometimes in the world when we have things that are extreme, those that are not extreme go, wait a minute, that's not right, but I don't even want to talk about maybe what is right because of being lumped in with the kind of the chaos that's out there. I don't think that's healthy. I think we need to open the Word and approach the Word and say, God, teach us about your Spirit. God, teach us what relationship we as your people are to have with your Holy Spirit. God, use your Spirit in my life. Transform me. Guide me. Lead me. Help me to be what you want me to be. As you promised this Spirit to be a helper, Lord, there are times in life that I need help. And I need your Spirit to help me. I don't know how it all works. I don't understand every detail of it. Just be honest. I think a lot of preachers don't preach on this because they want you to think they're smarter than they are. I want to just be honest. I'm not that smart. God is. God is correct on every matter. I can be wrong. Don't rely on any man's verbiage or any man's teachings to be your soul's key. You hold the Word. You hold the key. You let it guide you. I just want to do my best to be faithful as I try to explain. And so this is what he describes. The counselor is a comforter. The Word is this idea of the paraclete. And I know you guys are going, hey, football starts next week. I got to get a pair of cleats. No, not that idea, okay? The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, though. He is going to walk alongside of us, the one who goes with us. And it's kind of interesting. Jesus has just said in this text, I have been walking with you. You've been following me. But guess what? I'm no longer going to be here. But I will replace. There will be a replacement figure in your life. And it's my Holy Spirit. He is the one. He actually uses the verb, the idea to walk alongside. Some of your translations will use counselor, comforter, as we just sang, counselor, comforter, keeper. Spirit we long to embrace. This song that praises all three aspects of this Jesus, wonderful, merciful Savior, the counselor, almighty, infinite Father. You see the beauty of God in each of those phrases. The Spirit is described as our comforter. And I love that imagery. I also love the way that Jesus will say to them, I will not leave you as orphans. The picture is, it was described, D.L. Moody put it this way. He said, Plato spoke of the disciples of Socrates, who was the great teacher. He said, when Socrates died, he left his students as orphans. And they were alone without direction. And now years later, Jesus picks up on that same verbiage and he says to his disciples, hey, I know you've been following me, but I'm not going to leave you like Socrates did. I won't leave you as orphans. I will send one who will guide you and be your teacher. I love this image. There are several things that Jesus gives to us as we glance, as we think about the Holy Spirit. He is a comforter. The idea in Latin, this idea of comfort or fortis, is to be brave, to be given strength, to be one who is brave. The same thought of an advocate is given, one who goes to bat for us, one who stands before another and defends us. Guys, when you step back into school, there are going to be moments in which you are in the presence of something that is going on. Someone's being mistreated or something, and God is going to... There's going to be something within you because of your relationship to Jesus that's going to say, I need to go to bat for that guy. I need to step up and to help this scenario. I need to speak into this space. I need to see this person's loneliness and step into it. And again, I don't understand all of the how, but God says the Spirit is that advocate for us before the Heavenly Father. He sees our needs and He steps into our spaces and He seeks to be our counselor and our comforter. What a beautiful picture. Is there anybody in the room that hasn't needed some comfort lately? Hasn't been in a situation where you sure could have used someone who would listen to you and the struggles that you're going through and the hurt that you're enduring? Or maybe you've been, like a dear friend of mine shared, he said, I've been on the ground face down with my heart broken, and I'm just saying, God, just send him. I need your helper. I need your helper. Help my heart right now, God. Have you been there? Have you been in that moment? I thank God that He did not leave us as orphans. He said, you're my children. I'm going to be here with you. You're not going to be alone. Whatever you go through, I'm here with you. And I promise it's going to be forever until we're all gathered together around the throne. He is our comforter. And He says, there's something that comes from... Comfort comes from obedience. Did you know that tie-in? Like, you can feel real comfortable when you know you're doing what you're supposed to do, okay? And then obedience also brings relationship. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Helper. Fast forward in just a few moments as we think about Blake's baptism. Jesus in John chapter 3, fast forward, that's a rewind. Jesus in John chapter 3 says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're going to be born of the water and of the Spirit. An image that is exactly what the Apostle Peter would stand up and present on the first day to those who were seeking to obey Jesus. What did he say? He said, you must repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, this promise was connected to us through obedience. It's about our connection to God, and He gives us the blessing of this helper, this counselor, and this comforter. Not only is that, in verse 25, He describes the Holy Spirit. He says, these are the things I've spoken to you while I'm here, but the helper, the Holy Spirit that I will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, one thing that's important, there's two things that we understand and dig into, two C's of great Bible study, I like to say. It's understanding the content and it's understanding the context. Content is what is actually said, the words that are there, the things we read, and we go, oh, da-da-da-da-da, I get that. But then there's the context, which is everything surrounding who it is said to, what is going on, what's the time period. Jesus has been walking with them, teaching them day by day by day, telling them what to do, who to be, what it looks like to be a follower, over and over, just straight out of His mouth. And now He says, I'm fixing to leave you. I'm going to be there no more. How many of you remember that experience? The first time after your loved one passed away. For me, it was my dad. And something happened, and you went to grab the phone, and you were going to pick it up because you knew he knew how to fix it. You had always just relied on him taking care of fixing it. You would say, hey, Dad, the lawnmower's broken. And he'd get the stuff and he'd fix it. And yeah, you might have been around sometimes and you might have learned some things you shouldn't have, but you picked up on the opportunity. You didn't do like you should have. When you wanted, when you needed it, it wasn't there to go back and ask. I think Jesus is seeing that in his disciples, and he's saying, look, don't worry. That, to these apostles, that is what the Holy Spirit's going to do to you. He is going to provide for you this continual direct line of revelation where you will be blessed by the Spirit continuing to guide us into all truth. Now, this is a word that is spoken to those 12. He's given this word to the apostles because, again, who are those that are going to continue to map out for the church the teachings of Scripture? It would be the apostles, right? And so he says, he will bring into remembrance the things I have said. So it's kind of like he stirs up in the memory the things that you have already heard. One of the things that personally I believe the Holy Spirit does in the life of a Christian today, though he's not guiding us into all truth, because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's interesting that word breath through the Bible is used to reference spirit, whether it's the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And the word for spirit in the Hebrew was this idea of, you know, this exhalation of air and power. But this breath that God would breathe life into Adam, and Adam would become a spirit in that moment, and then he would breathe into the Scripture through his Spirit so we can know what God's will for us is. Again, he's guiding the apostles into the revelation of all truth. The Holy Spirit's not continuing to reveal some miraculous thing to you that has never been told to anybody else. God's no respecter of persons, 1 Corinthians says to us. And so I think it's important that when we think about how does the Spirit bring things to our remembrance, I believe as we have the Word in our lives, you guys are sitting there in that setting and you have a conversation with someone and all of a sudden this thought comes to your head. I don't know how he does it. But if the Word is in my life, then it's there and I'm able to share that with somebody that's hurting and needing. And I think that is a work of the Spirit that's in our lives today. That he is continuing to help us in helping others as we share with them that Word. As we feel those things, as we go, hey, counselor, they need you. To help someone, this spirit of, I need to be there for this person. There are these moments in which I believe God uses His Spirit in us. He's our comforter. He's described in John 16, and again, we're not going to do this. I'm just going to give you the quick slideshow version. As the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit reveals truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to reveal to anyone anything today that would contradict what He's already revealed in His Word. You can immediately decipher spirits when you go, oh, that guy's saying something's from the Holy Spirit, but, you know, that's not at all what the Word of God says, so he must not be associated with the Holy Spirit. It must be some other spirit that he is having. Spirit of truth. I think the Scripture's pretty clear that the Spirit lives within us. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says that, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I think that's pretty clear. There are also references that Jesus lives in us and that God lives in us, but this spiritual connection to God is we are habitats for divinity. We produce fruits of this Spirit, that as God is so rooted in our lives, these good things begin to be a part of that. And so don't forget and miss that. The Word of God is said to be the sword of the Spirit. I see that, and I see that in such power that it makes a difference in the world. You don't have to be afraid of the world, because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He says you need to be charging the gates of hell. It's not that we're sitting up kind of holed up back here going, please don't hurt us, devil. It's the flip of that. He says the gates of hell will not prevail as we're yelling charge and running in the direction of the enemy. And we're taking territory from the enemy. I've got a great story I'll share with you on that one next week. I love the way Romans describes the blessing of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go ahead and read ahead in Romans chapter 8, as you think about all of the blessings that come with the Spirit and its relationship to us, He cries out for us, Abba, Father. Even when we don't have the words to speak, the Spirit speaks our hearts to God. We sing the song. Listen to our hearts, right? It's because words are not enough to tell you of our love. So, Lord, listen to our heart. And who does the translation for you on that? It's the Spirit of God. And finally, we're challenged to live a life that is in step with the Spirit. And so if I am in step with God's Spirit, then I am moving in the direction in which He desires for me to go. I want to close with this thought. So most of my trip was really awesome. But then I had a trip on my trip that was not so much. These are the classic Havaianas, y'all see those every once in a while, Brazilian flip-flops. Brand name, they're like Jordans in Brazil, okay? Not quite, but still. So I had on my flip-flops. We had the day before we went out to the camp, Alex and I were going to walk out there, down the Recife is the name for reef in Portuguese, and it is a coastal town, and there's this beautiful coast, home of Brazil's highest rate of shark attacks. So what do I want to do? I want to get in the water, right? And we are going to, that you can see this reef out from here to the wall. Is this beautiful rock reef that's there. It's kind of, and as the water got lower, I was like, man, Alex, let's walk out to those. Let's walk across those. And so we stepped out, and I stepped onto a rock or two, and then this wave kind of came, and the rock that was underneath me kind of shifted. And flip-flops are not made for rock walking, okay? That's not what they're made for. And so as my foot shifted and my big toe scraped a rock and this other toe scraped a rock, and I ended up flipping back and looked like a ninja turtle on my back, you know. And I fall back in the water, and Alex said, oh, brother. And then I've got my backpack, my little stringy, those cheap Horizons backpacks. No offense, Horizons. But I've got this, my phone's in this little cheap Horizons backpack, and I fall in the water. And I'm like, oh, and I sling it up to Alex as quick as I can. Didn't think it got much. Phone's dead on day two of the trip. Zero calm back home. Trouble. Right, pilot? You got no calm, you got issues. That's why I'm rocking the new hot pink cell phone case. When you're a dad of four girls, well, when you're a dad of three girls and an amazing wife, you got a lot of pink in your life. And so I'm not ashamed, you know. When it comes to buying a new phone or rocking the pink, we do what we have to do. But the reality was, I thought about it like this. So many times in our lives, we're challenged to keep in step with the Holy Spirit as we live. Okay, God's Spirit has revealed how God wants us to lead and or live through His Word, and we know who we need to be, who we're called to be, and He's given us this direction, and it's made pretty clear, and we want to be a part of encouraging each other to do that, but sometimes we start wearing the wrong shoes for walking in the Spirit. We're trying to wear the world's shoes and walk in the Spirit, and the two don't mix. Because the world's shoes are not made for keeping in step with God's Spirit. And what happens to us is when we're trying to do both, we end up falling and failing miserably. We talk about going back and forth, and we use the term, he's kind of flip-flopping back and forth, right? Flip-flopping, vacillating, whatever. And I think reality is sometimes when we flip-flop on God, we realize, hey, listen, I need to make a commitment. I need to make a commitment that I quit flip-flopping and I just step out and I say, I'm committed to walking in the Spirit. I want to do what pleases God's Spirit in my life. Do you remember the little passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 where he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit? You think, man, the things in your life make happy or grieve the presence of God in your life? Absolutely. I want to keep in step with His Spirit. So my challenge to us as we close today, as we spend some time thinking about God, is to keep in step with the Spirit. It's to think about, number one, am I a child of God? Have I accepted the invitation to be adopted into His eternal forever family? Have I accepted that? Have I, like we saw in Blake, chosen to be born again? My old life washed away in the blood of Christ, forgiven by the grace of God. Nothing that I did to earn it, just simply, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And I surrendered to the will of God in my life. I walk and I'm raised in the newness of life and I'm given the gift of His Holy Spirit and I say, God, I want to do my best. I know I'm not going to be perfect. You don't go into the day on the beginning of your mission trip and plan on just flopping over upside down in the ocean, right? Destroying a phone that costs way much more than it should. And then you don't plan on that. You don't plan on dealing with a big scrape on your toe that you're praying to the Lord that it doesn't get infected and all this kind of, you don't plan on that. Sometimes you mess up. And we fall and we go, God, I messed up and I'm sorry and I can't fix it. But God has the power to restore all things and make us new in His Son Jesus and to give us the peace that passes all understanding through the presence of His Spirit in our life. And today, if you don't have that, I want to invite you, not just to keep in step with the Spirit, but to step out today and say, I'm ready to start my walk with Jesus. I'm ready to begin my relationship with God the Creator. I'm ready to encounter the blessing of this Comforter in my life. You can do that today. And maybe you've wandered away and you know you're out of step and it's time to come back. If there's any way we can help you, we want to do that as we stand together and as we sing. I am